Welcome back to the second hour of the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that Odyssey app. It is 410, 76 degrees outside on this Friday, April 25th, 2025. Let's see, we got some stories here. Wilkes-Barre Township. Police are trying to identify a man they say was caught taking pictures up women's skirts at the Target on Thursday night. Police said the man was caught photographing the women around 8 p.m. Thursday at the store in Wilkes-Barre Township Commons, and that he left the area in a green Kia Soul when confronted. The incident is being investigated as a case of invasion of privacy. Anyone with information about the man's identity is asked to call the Wilkes-Barre Township Police. They do have a grainy picture of him. I would hope they have one better, and this is just what they put out here for the story. But this is a real good way to get your teeth broken. You're going around taking pictures up women's skirts in Target. You're bound to sooner or later get confronted by either a very angry husband, significant other, brother, father, boyfriend. So it is a good way to get your teeth broken. And deservingly so, but hopefully the police get this individual and hold him accountable the way they should be held accountable. But just saying, it is a good way to get your teeth broken. That's locally. Now, on a national level, this story has started to gain traction. And even though they say there's no evidence of a connection of what could be a serial killer on the loose in the Northeast. Now, not Pennsylvania, but just north of us. Even though they say there's no evidence that links the now 8 homicides, there's also no evidence that makes me want to discount that these aren't or could be related. So it's a double-edged issue here. And during a homicide investigation, you have to open yourself up to all possibilities until they can be ruled out. And in this case, even though there is circumstantial evidence where you could say these are similar, you can't rule out that they're not connected. And they seem to be discounting that. And it's not been getting, I mean, have you heard about a serial killer on the loose or a possible serial killer? Or not even a serial killer, just a rash of homicides in the Northeast. I haven't before reading this article, and I'm sure you haven't either. Fears that a serial killer may be on the loose in New England have been reignited after the 8th body was discovered in the region. The woman who has yet to be identified was found unresponsive Tuesday off a bike path in Springfield, Massachusetts, with the cause of deaths as yet unknown. The death comes amid so far unfounded rumors about a serial killer who has allegedly killed 7 people, mostly women, between March and April in Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. Now, there's a map, and it's pretty widespread. We're looking at between Stamford, New Haven, New London, Killington, Foster, Rhode Island, Springfield, Massachusetts, Framingham, Massachusetts, Plymouth, Massachusetts. So it's pretty widespread area. But over the past 2 months, human remains have been recovered in Rhode Island and Plymouth, as well as a number across Connecticut in New Haven, Norwalk, Groton, and Killingly. The discoveries spurred the formation of the New England Serial Killer Facebook page. Now, full disclosure here, when there's unknown like this, people love conspiracy theories. They love this type of thing. Somebody actually created this Facebook page, and people are going to lean into it. But again, as a former homicide detective, until there's evidence to say that these are definitely not related, you have to open yourself up to at least the possibility. Now, I understand trying to calm the public saying, listen, there's not a serial killer out there, but we're looking at all aspects. They're really not saying that. They're just saying that there's no connection to these. And you don't know that. They're unsolved homicides, very similar victims, some similar circumstances. You have to open up yourself to the possibility that is possible. Now, it's spread on social media over the possibility that the murderer may be on the loose and operating in the three neighboring states. Police, however, continue to reject the theory, condemning the speculation as nothing more than internet rumors. There is no information at this time suggesting any connection to similar remain discoveries. Well, they just themselves in their statement said there's a connection. All the victims are similar. That's a connection. And I don't care if it's across a three-state. You have to open yourself up to all options until you can definitively rule them out. And there is no known threat to the public at this time, Connecticut State Police told Fox News Digital. Now, how do you give a statement like that? There is no known threat to the public at this time? Eight women have been found dead. There's obviously a known threat. Now, we can't or don't have enough to put out a BOLO or an advisory, but yeah, I would imagine the better stance is to everyone should remain vigilant and cautious at all times like you normally would, but at this time we can give you no specific threat. A better alternative here. Police also have no reason at the time to believe the latest body found is connected with any of the other deaths, added Springfield Police Department spokesperson. A medical examiner is set to determine the cause of the woman's death as police work to identify her. Now, there is no known cause of death at this time. I don't know what kind of information is out there. It could be a drug overdose. It could be a lot of things. But the fact that there are seven other that have been ruled homicides, you have to, again, open yourself up to the possibility. And this has really flown under the radar as far as publicity or nationwide coverage. So far, only three of the eight bodies have been identified, all women, with officials noting that some of the bodies recovered were degraded, making it harder to identify the deceased. One of the women was Paige Fannin, 35, of West Islip, New York, who was found on March 6th in the Norwalk River. Norwalk police noted that her clothing and personal items were found on the banks of the river, which prompted a dive team search. Denise Leary, 59, a mother of two who disappeared in September, was discovered in New Haven on March 21st. Michelle Romano, 56, of Warwick, New York, was found on March 26 in Foster. Like Leary, she was declared missing before her body was discovered. The cause of death of all three women has yet to be released. Police also believe that another of the deceased, a person found in Killingly, was a middle-aged woman. No identification as of yet. The police continue to investigate the deaths. Speculation on a serial killer has run rampant on social media. The New England Serial Killer Facebook group, which has 65,000 members, have garnered more than 15,000 new members this month, as a MassLive.com first reported. Searches for New England serial killer on Google spiked around April 7th, according to data from the search engine. So this is the information that's out there. And yes, the internet will always run rampant with stories like this, when something like this happens. But in all honesty, all options need to be put on the table when something like this. You cannot narrow your field of view as an investigator, as someone looking into this. Now, I understand you have to balance that with public panic. I understand you have to ensure that people are safe and they can go about their business as usual, but saying there's no known threat at this time when you have eight deceased bodies within a three-state radius, unexplained, raises the concern. So, something to keep an eye on. Does this continue to grow? This is the type of thing that, if it goes unanswered, could spark panic. And we're not looking to spark panic. We're just looking to spark true answers and investigative steps. And again, if you're ruling things out before you can definitively rule them out, saying these things are no way connected when you don't know that, and saying there is no known threat when you do know that there's eight bodies that have been found. Some of them have been decayed, so it's not known long how long they've been there. Some of them have missing reports. Some of them you don't even know who they are. So even in a three-state radius, if you look at it on a map, it's not a very wide area. I mean, it's a couple hundred square miles. So it'll be interesting to see where this goes. Now they appear to be women all the way from their 30 to 65, 55. So again, interesting to see where this goes. Really has flown under the radar. And now that it's starting to get national publicity, because I'm getting this from the New York Post, and it's been in the few of the New England papers, which is where the New York Post got it from, it'll be interesting to see what happens here. So if you're traveling in the Northeast, if you happen to be a young lady in the age group that we're talking about here, I would just use your due diligence like you would normally use, and we advise you to use anywhere. If you're in downtown Scranton or in rural Pennsylvania or in the Northeast, you should always have situational awareness, know about your surroundings. We started off this segment with talking about this cretin in Target who was filming up women's skirts, who again, seems like he's in the HOV lane to get his teeth knocked out, but hopefully law enforcement catch him the proper way, take him off the streets, and hold him accountable for violating women in our area. But it goes to show you the point. Always be vigilant of your surroundings and have a situational awareness always. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. Had a texter text in, "Hey Rob, happy Friday. Remember they caught the guy who would climb down into a woman's porta-potty toilets and hide in there in the blue chemical about 20 years ago. I don't know if it was local, but it happened." He said he looked it up. It's true. 2013. Only the facts, Rob. Man hides in Job Johnny. Now, that's sick. That's just sick. You can call or text at 570-883-0098. Let's go to the phone now. We have Donald from Pittston. Donald.
Yes, I'm going to switch gears here. Sounds so interesting. There's a rewrite the rules. The red hat T-shirts. Trump is going for a third term, looks like. Hats, T-shirts. And the memo I got was he just wants to start early so no one can enter a primary, like DeSantis, 5 a.m. early. And it is serious about it. They're looking at a third term here. There's T-shirts, hats.
Who's serious about it? Because there's T-shirts and hats? Because there's also an Obama 2028 hat out there.
I believe it. 2028, I believe it. He said this guy don't play. When he says something, usually he does it. What do you think? I think it's interesting. I think he's deserving of a third term. I don't want a fourth term, but I think he would win regardless. I think he's going to straighten everything out, the destruction the last administration did with the open borders and this transgender insanity.
Donald, so you're basing this off there's hats and T-shirts.
They said if you want to even get a deal like
who's
this
they?
With the flea market. Well, the Trump Organization, if you wanted to buy in bulk or something.
All right, so it's a marketing thing. This is not the administration. There's no plans or talks from the administration for him to run for a third term. It's T-shirts and hats.
Send out feelers. You got to be careful. It's early yet. But I think it was strategy. He'll know right before, probably around the midterms or a little after. I thought he'd move a little early on it.
Yeah, I don't see it happening, Donald. I don't see it happening. I think it's a marketing thing.
Yeah, regardless, I respect your opinion, but I think it's possible. I don't put nothing past this man. I think after what he's proven what he could do and all he went through, I don't know anybody that could do the job better than him, really, when you think about it. Del Cave and to the left all the time, and this guy stands firm. We're in a tough spot right now. You need a strong leader like him, and he's the strongest one we got. That's my opinion. I don't know how you feel about it.
Yeah, I don't see a third term. I just think I think it's poking at the Democrats, when he makes fun of it, when he mentions it, when he says some things. I don't see it happening. I don't see it becoming a reality whatsoever. I don't see them trying to change anything to make it happen. I think it's a marketing. People will buy it, and that's why they'll create it. There's going to be a market for it.
Yeah, I just thought it was interesting. That's why they passed it on to you. It was so early, starting it off,
Yeah, I mean, on the internet today, I saw Obama 2028 signs, too. Blue hats that said Obama 2028. They're both playing that game. And, it's going to happen. It gets people angry. It gets people worked up. You'll have Democrats go, "You see, look, he's trying to do this." That's the whole point of it. That's the whole point of it. Just like when he said, sending homegrown prisoners to a foreign country prisons. The left went nuts, and there's no precedent for that, so.
Well, let the left go nuts for a while. I like it. What I mean? They deserve it for all they did to this country. Let's have some fun with it then. All right. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for checking in, Donald. And you can call or text at 570-883-0098. Look at some text messages coming in. Yeah, there is a picture of Eric Trump wearing a 2028 hat. There is. And it is. They're just ribbing and causing heads to explode on the left, sort of like I do from 3 to 6 each day. And you know who you are out there. You know who you are. You listen every day. You listen more than my listeners who like the show. I appreciate it, though, because the number one answer, you want to hear what I have to say. It's 4:31 here at WILK. Time for the news with Paul Michaels. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. It's the point of the show where we honor our heroes here at home who made the ultimate sacrifice in law enforcement. On this day, we have three. I'm going to start off with Patrolman Daniel Earl Rice, Bethlehem Police Department, on this day, 1997. Was killed when his patrol car was broadsided in the intersection of Schoonerville Road and Westgate Drive. Patrolman Rice was a U.S. Army veteran of the Vietnam War who served 26 years with the Bethlehem Police Department, received 20 commendations for his service, survived by his wife and three children. Pennsylvania State Trooper Bruce Clark Rankin, Pennsylvania State Police, 1973, was killed when his unmarked cruiser was struck by a tractor trailer during heavy rainstorm at 9:30 a.m. The tractor trailer jumped across the median on Route 119 in Greensburg when the driver braked to avoid crashing into another vehicle. Trooper Rankin was traveling south and was hit head-on by the tractor trailer. He was pinned in the wreckage of his cruiser for over 30 minutes. He was pronounced dead at the Westmoreland Hospital. He had served with the Pennsylvania State Police for 2 years, assigned to Troop A in Greensburg, survived by his fiancée, parents, and sister. Finally, today we have Police Officer John Charles Stratton, Jr., Philadelphia Police Department in 1970 on this day. John Stratton suffered a fatal heart attack in the parking lot of the 7th Precinct District shortly after an arrest. He and several officers responded to the intersection of Knight Roads and Elcott Road for a large fight. Three adults and five juveniles were arrested for disorderly conduct. Officer Stratton struggled with one of the adults as he attempted to place them in the back of a police vehicle. He complained of not feeling well on the way to the police station. He suffered a fatal heart attack moments after arriving back at the police station to book the adult. He was rushed to Nazareth Hospital, where he's pronounced dead on arrival. Officer Stratton was a U.S. Army veteran of World War II and had served with the Philadelphia Police Department for 4 years. He was survived by his wife and three children. And those are our three from today in history. And while we do this segment today, I just want to take note before we go to the break of all our firefighters, both paid and volunteer, who are out there fighting brush fires around the nation, to be quite honest with you, but especially the one here in Cumberland County. And in New Jersey, still battling that blaze to protect life and property. They respond to those calls day in and day out. So please, while we're under this burn advisory, this burn ban, please do not. I know it's been nice out. You want to get a nice fire going outside. If you have a fire pit or you can get a little bonfire going, just not the time. So please refrain from it. If you're a smoker, please do not throw your cigarette butts out on the side of the road. That's how a lot of these things get started. Hopefully some rain this afternoon brings us a little comfort in dampening the how high of a problem this is right now. So again, our thank you to all our volunteer and paid fire departments out there, who are some of which have been working around the clock dealing with these wildfires that have been going on to our east and to our southwest. So if you woke up this morning smelling that smoke, it's coming from Cumberland County, a large wildfire that's happening down there as well. And the smoke from the New Jersey fires is all the way down in Norfolk, Virginia. They're feeling it down there. So again, our thanks and prayers go out to our first responders out there each and every day who are putting their lives at risk to answer the call and protect others. It's 4:40 here at WILK, time for 2020 traffic and weather together. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show here on WILK News Radio. It's time for Today in History, because how do we know where we're going unless we don't remember where we've been? It's 4:45 here, 76 degrees on this Friday, April 25th, 2025. Let's see what we have on for today. 1898, U.S. declares war on Spain. United States Congress formally declared war against Spain marking the start of the Spanish-American War. The 16-week conflict resulted in an American victory and led to the U.S. acquiring the Philippines, Puerto Rico, and Guam. 1945, Elba Day, U.S. and Soviet forces meet. American and Soviet troops met at Torgau on Elba River in Germany, effectively cutting Nazi forces in two. This event symbolized the approaching end of World War II. Again, that was 1945. 1953, the discovery of DNA structure was announced. James Watson and Francis Crick published their groundbreaking paper describing the double helix structure of DNA. This discovery is commemorated annually as National DNA Day. As I just stated, today is National DNA Day, celebrated in the United States, honoring the publication of the DNA double helix structure in 1953. The day also recognizes the completion of the Human Genome Project in April of 2003. Some pop culture moments. 2000, Miss Congeniality and Perfect Date. The film Miss Congeniality, popularized April 25th as the perfect date, humorously described as not too hot, not too cold. All you need is a light jacket. This line has since become a cultural reference celebrated annually by fans. It is the perfect date, not too hot, not too cold. Some notable birthdays today. Al Pacino, 1940, renowned actor, known for his roles in the Godfather series and Scarface. Ella Fitzgerald, 1917, an iconic American jazz singer, often referred to as the First Lady of Song. She was just a phenomenal performer. And if you ever go back and can listen to and look at some of the things that Ella Fitzgerald has done, just an unbelievable songstress. Tim Duncan, 1976, former professional basketball player and five-time NBA champion with the San Antonio Spurs. And that's some of the highlights of today on this date. I also want to get into, and Jake, if you get your headphones on, a little lesson here for our young youth out there, especially in the age of social media. Yesterday, during the NFL draft, we saw a young man who was, if he would have kept his mouth shut and stayed off social media, would have been a guaranteed first-round draft pick. Am I wrong in saying that, Jake?
No, I don't think you're wrong about that at all, Rob.
But he feels entitled. Mm-hmm. He thinks he's more than he is. He's not humbled by the talent that he does have, right, and the opportunities he's been given. Took advantage of it. Thought that he was owed something, and basically himself destructed his. Now he'll come out, still okay.
Got drafted tonight.
He's self-destructive. I mean, here is someone who all aspects, and we're talking about Shedeur Sanders.
Yeah,
Shedeur Sanders. Yeah. Now he basically, every expert was saying he was a first round guarantee. And it turned out not the case, and it's all because of him.
And his dad.
Yeah, but more so. I mean, everybody kind of knows who his dad is.
Yeah.
Everybody knows what to expect when it comes to Deion Sanders, and that's his mantra. That's who he is. That's what people like about him. But you know what? The difference is Deion Sanders has earned it.
Exactly.
His son has not, and until he starts to earn it, should have been humbled and kept his mouth shut, stayed away from social media. And unfortunately, his dad's probably one of the people advising him poorly.
He really is, and that's the thing. It reminds me a lot of the LaVar Ball situation a couple of years ago in the NBA where, he couldn't keep his mouth shut, and look at the damage that it did for the careers of his sons. And like you talked about, Rob, I mean, when you think of Deion Sanders, obviously a larger-than-life personality, obviously a Hall of Famer, very, very talented athlete, no doubt about it. I think, obviously, back to the early 90s when he played a baseball game and a football game in the same day. That being said, Shedeur Sanders, definitely was his own worst enemy. And what happened last night, because there was even talk around Thanksgiving, as far back as that he was possibly going to be the number one pick, possibly for the Las Vegas Raiders when they had lost all those games in a row. And, for him to have that mentality to not talk to teams outside the top five at the scouting combine, the anonymous reports. I mean, hey, the red flags were there, how he feels entitled, how he never took accountability. I mean,
he didn't play in the Senior Bowl. Am I wrong there?
To have your number retired
after
you went 13-12 at Colorado. Oh, Colorado, where your dad is the head coach.
Yeah.
And I think some of the other things when I think about last night, Rob, and I think of this slide that Shedeur Sanders had. First off, Cameron Ward was drafted number one overall by the Tennessee Titans, and the whole time all Mel Kiper Jr. kept talking about was how insulting it was that it wasn't Shedeur Sanders, that this team passed on Shedeur Sanders, that the New Orleans Saints passed on Shedeur Sanders, that the Pittsburgh Steelers that they passed up on Shedeur Sanders. I saw a clip on Twitter this morning, and the New Orleans Saints, like I talked about a couple weeks ago, that was a possibility of him going to the New Orleans Saints at 9 because Derek Carr has a shoulder injury, probably is going to have surgery required in the offseason. So they're showing Deion Sanders watching NFL Network. Roger Goodell walks up to the podium and says, with the 9th pick in the 2025 NFL draft, the New Orleans Saints select Kelvin Banks Jr., offensive tackle, Texas, and Deion starts shaking his head, and then does this kind of motion. They had a DJ there, and they were blasting rap music within a couple seconds afterwards. So,
yeah.
And they were saying, oh, Deion's heartbroken. Deion's not heartbroken. Deion cares about the spotlight, and that's pretty much what he, when you look at Shedeur, Shiloh, Deion Jr., I mean, the way that all of them were running their mouths last night. And that's the other thing. You're invited to Green Bay, the NFL draft. I mean, Green Bay it's the holy grail. When you think of Lambeau Field, it's the Wrigley Field equivalent of the National Football League. You don't show up. You have this big party down in Texas. You design a room that says legendary, and you have all the hats of all the teams that you thought were going to pick you. And for people like Mel Kiper Jr., for instance, for him to make a complete ass out of himself and try and make the whole night about Shedeur Sanders, hey, what do they always say? Welcome to the NFL. And that's a welcome to the NFL in a sense that kind of attitude and that kind of diva and selfishness. And, you know, like they said, Shedeur Sanders is a quarterback that has the mentality of a wide receiver. I mean, you look at wide receivers, how they're always holding out, how they're always making it about themselves, how they always want money. And
he does remind me a lot of Terrell Owens.
There you go.
You
know,
and we see what happened to his career. And there was someone who was extremely talented and proved himself.
Exactly.
But his attitude, his behavior, you know, had him blacklisted and benched and sent out of the sport.
T.O., Randy Moss is another one that comes to mind. Two of the most gifted wide receivers of all time. And Lord only knows, I don't think anyone would ever have gotten close to any of Jerry Rice's records. I don't think that'll ever happen. But it would have been fun to see how close the two of them would have come if they would have been a little humbled, if they didn't act like jackasses, to say the least.
And the main reason, you know, the main reason I wanted to bring this up is to this generation. I mean, here's a lesson. Here's somebody who had everything right in his hands in front of him, mm-hmm. and all he had to do was keep his mouth shut. Yeah. All he had to do was stay off social media and keep his mouth shut. Do you think he goes round two, or do you think he drops to three?
I think that there's a good chance that he'll go in round two, but here's the other thing, Rob. So the Cleveland Browns, they have the first pick tonight, 7 o'clock, ABC, ESPN, NFL Network. They have that first pick in the second round. They need a quarterback. But how much you want to bet that Shedeur and Deion Sanders, that they would be like, just like Eli Manning and Archie with the Chargers in 2004, oh, we don't want to play here, we want to get traded.
Yeah.
Watch.
Yep.
EJ, any thoughts?
Yeah, no, 100%. Jake just covered everything. I'm glad I walked in when I did. No, Rob, just one thing, and it's big for our generation, because the generation that I'm in right now, those are the kids that are getting drafted. So, like, think about this, folks. You could have everything, but one wrong move and it's over. I mean, we watched a guy here, just me homering, Antonio Brown, had everything, started acting like a jerk, and guess what? Is he playing in the NFL anymore?
He'll never play again.
Absolutely not. He will never touch a football field again. And that's just it. So my message to other kids my age, and to kids to come who are going up there, just
stay humble.
Quiet. Let your work do the talking. Okay, yes, that, that's what I would say.
And here, it's listen, he is young. I get it. He's excited. It's the wrong mentorship around him. It's the wrong. I mean, I guess his dad's his manager, right?
I guess his dad's handling. I believe so. But yeah, no, you're 100%.
His PR crew, his dad, everyone around him should take the phone away. Listen, we're giving you a flip phone for the next couple of weeks. You're not going to be allowed to text. You're not going to be allowed to post on X or anything else. And we're going to keep you out of the camera. And if anyone asks you a question, your only answer is, I'm looking to serve whatever team picks me.
Right.
And let the process happen. And he would have went probably in the top 10.
I agree. And I've seen so many teams. You should see some of these kids around here, because you guys know I cover high school football. I see kids that are ready to work, and it's those kids who end up going far in college. Shout out Taylor Balesta, who might not get drafted this year, but is from Dallas and goes to Stony Brook. He may get signed up on a free agent deal here, but he is one of the hardest workers. Not once does he open his mouth. Yep. Not once. He works. You'll make it, but you got to let your work do the talking for you. That's just my main takeaway, and I'm very glad that no one took Shutter Sanders in the first round. It's a humbling that I felt was necessary.
Welcome to the NFL.
Yep. Enjoyed. We'll take a break. It's time for that break. Well, we're coming up on the 5 o'clock hour here on WILK News Radio. Just was watching the TV, and they're updating the draft perspective tonight. What time does it start tonight, Jake?
Seven o'clock, Rob.
7 o'clock?
Rounds 2 and 3, and then tomorrow at noon, rounds 4 through 7.
All right. So if you something you're going to watch tonight, yeah, I might watch it just to see where he gets picked, but we'll see. It's 5 o'clock here at WILK. We'll be back after the break.